Good morning. How's your week been? Mine's been sensational. Okay. Jamin, you want to pray? Amen. I didn't call forth prophetic words this morning. There are several reasons. One of them I can't tell you. The other one is that we do have a gathering tonight. I sent you all out an email and a text that we're having a prophetic gathering tonight at 6 o'clock. It's not a time to come and give personal words. It's a time just to come and hear what God's saying and make declarations about those things and pray into those things concerning whatever. But again, not about personal words. And so we'll give you more instruction tonight. So I hope that those who have prophetic voices will come. David Infinger is surprised to discover that he'll be leading worship through the system back there for us. We have some worship at the beginning. I'm not going to put that on Luke with little Joe being home and then Malachi comes back at 5. So I just want to remind you, if you pray, Livia has her second. Well, actually, this is me. She has the next surgery this Thursday in Birmingham. This will be her 10th time to be under anesthetic since March. our doctor was at our house the other night for a couple hours, and Livia asked him, "Well, is that I'm having some short-term memory issues? Can anesthetic do that?" And he said, "Yeah, I can do that. It's just temporary." And I thought, Lord, why couldn't you have made her long-term memory be gone for temporarily? Her short-term memory being gone makes it worse on me. But long-term memory, just for a while, would have been really good. So, of course not. He wanted me to walk through that. So thank you for your prayers. And thanks for praying for me, those of you who knew that I went to go see Dr. Frankenstein again this last week. And when I came out of his office, I looked like the son of Frankenstein. I'm blood everywhere. I also, in terms of the prophetic, there's a couple of things that I saw this morning, so I thought, well, the Lord said, just share your thing. And tonight there'll be much more if you come. And while we were worshiping, at the beginning, when I was just praying, worshiping in tongues, I just saw this open vision of the throne room reality, and Jesus. Tears, soft tears were coming from one of his eyes. He was doing his heart like this. And I saw angels just rejoicing at that little part of worship. But of course, they understood everything that was being said too. And they were like, they each had those like independent drums. And so it had something to do with warfare. I just thought that was really cool. But also during our worship down here, I heard the Lord say, look up and see the arrows. And so I knew immediately he was talking about prayer. And I thought, well, I'm going to see the arrows moving towards heaven. But actually, arrows were moving, were flying out of heaven towards the earth. And they were striking targets really successfully. And it's as if every target had been slowed down so that it would be easy to hit. I think I told this at Blue Jean last week when I first learned how to hunt. John Rawl taught me, because I didn't, being from Birmingham, I didn't know how to hunt. And he took me dove hunting. He had just started walking with the Lord. He wanted to talk about the Lord all the time, ask me questions. We're sitting in the midst of these bushes. And so it's going to be dove hunting. And so I'd been told, he'd told me that doves are really hard to kill. They fly real fast, dart around. But John kept asking questions, not paying any attention to what I was doing. I must have shot about 10 dove in a row. I thought, this is easy. And I said, John, pay attention. I said, I'm the greatest dove hunter ever. He said, you pretty much wiped out the mockingbird population in Dallas County. Because they're huge and they move real slow like a battleship through the air. It's kind of like that. Things are moving so slow. They're like targets that are moving slow, that the simplest prayers are like arrows coming, flying out of heaven and impacting and hitting their target. So just wanted to share that word too. As we continued, I contemplated not taking a break this week just because it's been a weird week for me. I even was wrestling with the Lord a little bit during worship. Are you sure this is what you want to do? And I feel comfortable that He wants me to do this and go as far as we can with it. I'm intentionally not going fast. I'm intentionally going over some things again and again because I want us to get this. I don't want this just to be another series of messages. That song, the gospel reading is where we began 8 weeks ago with, Lord, teach me to pray. Not just teach me how to pray, but teach me to pray. And if any of you have taken that out for a spin and said that to the Lord, one of the things I can assure that you probably have noticed is that you're just finding a desire in you that's stronger than it's been before, just to snatch away some time. Even if it's for a few minutes to spend time with the Lord and pray. Or just as you go. You know, that counts as prayer too. Prayer while you're driving in your car counts just as much as prayer in the throne room, in the prayer behind the veil, in the secret place. The difference is it's easier to hear His voice clearly, and you can do some things when you're sitting by yourself behind the veil. But every time you pray, you may be driving in the car, like I said, or walking through Walmart, but you're behind the veil. Actually, you kind of live there, right? And I wanted us to catch a new vision, a fresh vision of what prayer is all about. And so we're kind of meandering through this. So today and probably next week, we'll look at personal petition, and then we'll jump into the whole intercession thing. And that God will give you value in what's being said, and it becomes part of your spiritual arsenal in terms of your prayer life. So it's one of the reasons, too, I'm using my notes a lot, because there's a lot of information. And I've also got quotes from people who have a greater history, longer history, and have things to say about prayer that are better than what I can say. So I want you to hear the best that can be said about it. Amen? And some of it's mine, most of it, but some of it's somebody else's. In reading through the Gospels, one of the things that we'll find is that Jesus never makes anyone ashamed about prayer or condemns them for not praying. I don't want you to pray because you feel guilty that you're not fulfilling some spiritual duty. We've talked about this before. This is a relationship. So if you, husband or wife, spend time with your mate because you feel guilty and you want to do it out of duty, that's not going to be very flattering to them. And the one who is love, it's less flattering to Him than it would be to us. He wants us to want to pray. He wants us to communicate with Him. The key to every relationship at whatever level is communication, is communion. And prayer is a conversation. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. And actually, the more you spend time in prayer, you'll find that your list isn't the most important thing. His is. This is from, those of you who remember, Dudley Hall. He wrote this about 25 years ago, but he tells a fun story about prayer and the simplicity of it all. So I wanted to read it to you. He says, when prayer begins to take on a confusing agenda, I remember the story of Fifi and Charlie. I get tickled reading the story because Dudley's like 6'7". You know, hear Dudley say the word Fifi would be funny. I remember the story of Fifi and Charlie. Fifi was a little poodle with a pink bow and neatly in her jeweled collar. Charlie was a bulldog with a rough and tough demeanor. And they were discussing how one gets into the main house how nice it was to be given that opportunity. "I can get in anytime I want," said Fifi. "No, you cannot," growled Charlie. "I'm bigger than you, and I can't get in. The handle is too high for either one of us to reach, and the door stays locked from the inside." "I can get in," said Fifi. He says, "You're lying," said Charlie. "How?" And sheepishly, Fifi confided, "Well, I can't explain all the ins and outs of it. All I know is that when I scratch, the door opens." Prayer is that simple. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to scratch the door. I like that story. One of the real hindrances to prayer is a condemning heart. If you remember something we taught a couple of months ago about a condemning heart, is that one of the reasons we struggle in faith, and everything we do in the Christian life in faith, is a condemning heart. And the word condemnation and the word doubt are both of the same word. That most of the time we doubt, not just about, can I really have entrance into prayer? Am I really welcome in His presence? But it causes us to live the Christian life by faith at any level. So a condemning heart is one of those things, and it's really as easy as scratching the door. As a matter of fact, the scripture we've talked about a lot, as sort of a foundational scripture, Revelation chapter 4, when he says, in the midst of these things. So again, if you go back and read Revelation 4, and verse 1 says, after these things, it would be better translated, in the midst of these things. In the midst of all the chaos that God was revealing to John, he says, in the midst of these things, he says, come up here. And the literal words would be, get on board. In the midst of these things, get on board, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things. So the reality is, we don't even have to scratch the door. The door has been blown off. And we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ, participating in the conversation of the triune God because of our union with Jesus. Prayer happens in and from heaven. So that's why that vision that I saw weren't prayers being shot into heaven to get heaven to come down, but prayers being shot from heaven, casting heaven down to earth. I know those seems like just semantics, but it really does make a difference. It's profoundly different theology. Profoundly different theology. You understand Jacob's ladder, which John 1:29 says is Jesus. Jacob's ladder, that access to heaven, which is this great prophetic vision of the work of Jesus, what Jesus was going to accomplish, didn't start from earth up. It started from heaven down. And Jacob wasn't called to climb the ladder to try to reach the presence of God. Angels descended and ascended, bringing, as a picture, just bringing the grace of God. But somehow we think we have to climb the ladder to try to pull heaven down. The scripture says the kingdom of heaven is here. The word is literally pinching you, pressing up against you. You and I are seated in the heavenly places. We don't just live under an open heaven. We live in the heavenly realm. Though our feet are squarely on the earth. And when we pray, we cast arrows down. We're not shooting arrows up, trying to bring something down. Go back and read in Romans chapter 10. It talks about that. As if we can pull heaven down. You have the privilege of casting heaven down. Manifesting heaven here. But not trying to get heaven to come down. Again, prayer happens in heaven. The throne room is a prayer room. When you pray from the throne room, you do pray from that open heaven mentality. We've talked about the fact there are three assignments in prayer. one of intimacy, discovery, and partnership. And partnership is the intercession and personal petition. Now, here's the thing, as I share some things again today about personal petition, once we shift into intercession, a lot of the principles, the truths that apply to personal petition, because you're basically interceding for yourself. So a lot of the principles that apply to personal petition also apply to intercession, okay? And so as we reference this and we go back and reference intercession in a week or two, then I'll recall you to a couple of things that are already true. This is a scripture that we read last week in John 16. Jesus tells us that in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf, but the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. That's powerful. Jesus is telling us, in other words, whenever you ask in my name, your request has the same power and effect with the Father as if I were asking him. The Father sees us asking as if Jesus was asking. These are a couple of things I've said last week, but bear with me. You see, this is the key to all prayer. Whether you're called as part of your calling to be a prophetic intercessor, or it's just intercession as part of your life and personal petition, everything else, it all flows out of your union with Christ. If we don't understand that, it gets confusing. It can become works really easily. It's powerful. Prayer is powerful. But it flows from a place of grace. It flows from our union with Christ. It flows from understanding that Jesus is your prayer life. Now, would you rather just have yours or his? This is the key to it all. What if Jesus could sit in on your behalf in your prayer session and pray as if he were you? Everything in the Christian life is by faith, and this is the basis of our faith, his faith and his authority and favored relationship with the Father. Here's a quote from Brian Simmons. If you are in union with him, then true prayer is praying in union with him. In the throne room on the sapphire crystal sea, mixed with fire, do you hear? Jesus is your prayer life. When you pray in his name, you're praying not just in partnership with him, but in union with him. And Jesus is your prayer life. Jesus' relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit is your relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's astounding to me. That's a game changer. Everything, I think, oh my God, the possibilities. Those verses that promised answered prayer, it's not just a cool thought. I qualify for those things because I'm in him. We mentioned this last week. I want to emphasize this again because this is so important. And that's about hearing his voice, listening prayer. Because the scripture tells us in 1 John 5 that if we pray something according to his will, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we already have the thing we prayed for. So prayer, hearing his voice, whether it's personal petition or whether it's intercession for others, hearing his voice and listening prayer is so significant. That scripture again, when he says, come on board, and I will show you what must take place. And he tells us that because he wants us to know, because he says in chapter 5, how we reign as priests on the earth now from heaven. How we bring heaven to earth from heaven. How do we cast down heaven to earth? How do we shoot arrows from heaven to earth that will hit targets? Jesus did not say that his sheep can hear his voice. In John 10, he said that they do hear his voice and recognize that it's Him. That's one of the things you've got to get a breakthrough, is don't believe the lie of the enemy that says, well, I really can't hear His voice. Yes, you can. Who's right? You are the Word. And I can tell you, if you'll just start believing the Word, you'll suddenly find yourself hearing His voice. He's been speaking all along. You were just too intimidated to admit it was actually Him. God lets us, this is another quote from Brian Simmons, God lets us ask Him what He wants to do. This is the blessed mystery of being a prayer partner praying from the throne room of Jesus. It's not always large numbers of people like this praying, but large prayers prayed by His people that matter. Amen? There have been many revivals, powerful geographical revivals that have swept areas, was because one or maybe two people just prayed consistently. Not because large crowds. The large crowds didn't pray until the revival broke out. Well, sure it would. Why can't it happen that way? If you're in union with Christ, how much influence does Christ have praying through you? Just one. Never get discouraged if you're part of a prayer meeting, if only a few people show up. As long as Jesus is there, we're in good shape. And if any Christian's there, Jesus is there incarnationally. And their voice, His voice, sounds a lot like their voice to the Father. Here, I'll read this one thing to you again. Everybody doing okay with me reading some stuff to you? True prayer is discovering God's heart as we draw near to Him. Then as we join Jesus in prayer, we begin to see His will done on earth as it is in heaven. When you know what's happening in heaven, you can pray it done on earth. That's the whole point of let me show you what must take place down there. But I have to show you that up here. Because up here controls down there. True prayer is Christ in you praying through you to accomplish the Father's desires for the earth. It's true. Jesus Christ is your prayer partner, and He will pray through you as you pray through Him in His name. When you pray in His name, He prays through you. It's by your prayers that God takes charge of things here on earth. We can cast down heaven. Cast down the future into the present with our prayers of faith. Hearing God, listening to the Lord, listening prayer, helps us to know God's declared will so that we can pray it in. This is Daniel 9, 2 through 3. In the first year of His reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the numbers of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. The number of years that were going to be in captivity. So Daniel saw it. He saw what God said. It was going to be these many years. 70 years. For the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Why? Didn't God say it's going to be 70 years? So just sit back and enjoy. Because God privileges us to co-labor from our union with Christ and seeing what He's declared manifested in the natural. That's a stunning thing to me. God has His part, our part. God's sovereign. You understand? One of the reasons I didn't open the prophetic is because there were two people that God told me had a word. But one of them didn't come. I'm not mad at him. I don't want him to feel guilty. But the Lord said, don't do it. He uses us. There are three realms of personal petition. And some of these things I've gleaned from a lot of different people. There are some great, great books on prayer out there. There are some that I think they're not so good, but there are some great stuff. And so I've just been, a lot of this stuff I taught at the conference on prayer I did a few years ago, but I've just been scouring over some things, added some things, asking the Lord to show me some stuff, new stuff in my own heart. But there are three realms of personal petition. One, for a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of Christ in our lives. Do I have the fullness of Christ living in me? Yes. But one of the main things we pray for in personal petition is there will be a greater release and manifestation of that fullness in our lives. And it's written in poetic language in the Hebrew in Song of Solomon 2 about the raisin cakes. And the language there literally is about the Holy Spirit, about fire and wind. And I pray that prayer all the time. I pray that prayer for you. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and prayed that prayer for all the churches in our diocese, which is weird. I would prefer it if he'd waited until I got up later. I prayed for you this morning. I pray for us all the time, Christ the King, that there'd be fresh fire and fresh wind. Because fresh wind makes the fire spread. And I pray that in my life, God, fresh fire, fresh wind, so that the fullness of Christ that I carry will spread into my experience at a greater level and beyond me to have impact and influence in the lives of others. Luke, when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, in Luke 3, 21 and 22, I'll read this one to you. Now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus was baptized, also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. The Holy Spirit did a work in his life as he prayed. If you remember from that place, again in Revelation chapter 4, it says that when God said to him, come up here, get on board, I'll show you what must take place. He saw the one sitting on the throne, and immediately he said he was in spirit. The first few verses of Ezekiel 2 is a third heaven reality, throne room reality. And the same thing he said, I stood on my feet, and I was in spirit. Praying for a greater release of the fullness of the Spirit that you carry in your life, a greater manifestation, is the first and most important thing you can pray. Because that's our great assignment. Our assignment is not first and foremost to bring heaven to earth. Our assignment, first and foremost, is, or our call is to be Christ-like. Our identity is that we're in Christ. Our call, put it this way, our call is to be Christ-like, not by imitation, but by manifestation. Our assignment looks different. The gifts of the Spirit that identify our ministry gifts will identify those assignments. But those things don't come before Christ-likeness. As a matter of fact, you'll be greatly hindered into the degree that you're effective in your assignments by how much or how little Christ-likeness you're walking in. And again, it's not Christ-likeness by imitation. It's Christ-likeness by participation in his very life and manifestation of that very life. It's him being himself, not me trying to be like him. He knows how to be himself. He's really good at it. He's been doing it for a long time. He doesn't need our cheap imitation. It'll wear you out trying to be like Christ on your own, no matter how sincere you are. And you'll come up with all kind of bizarre things to kind of get you there. Guess what? You're there. We're praying for a manifestation. More. So that's a good more prayer. Not more of Jesus, more manifestation. Christ is all, and he's in all. I want more of the all, manifested in my life. So I would encourage you, add that to your prayer. I'll read this. I know that must sound weird about Song of Solomon. Let me read it to you. And it'll still sound weird when I read it from Song of Solomon, but at least I'll show you the place and you can go back and look at it on your own. It says in Song of Solomon, chapter 3, this is the bride speaking of Jesus. I am like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. In his shade I took great delight and rested. His fruit was sweet to my taste. He has brought me to his banqueting hall, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes, and refresh me with apples. And those words, raisin cakes, means fire. And apples in Hebrews is the word for wind. Lord, sustain me with fresh fire. Sustain me with fresh wind. The second realm in terms of personal petition is your daily bread. Practical issues, your needs. This is one that I have in my notes to come later, but it's so cool. I can't help myself. I'm too sanguine. So we'll see it here and we'll see it again later. Luke was talking to me about this scripture the other day, and I was looking at it, and I thought, whoa, that is really amazing. It always sounded cool, but then it became revelatory. He says, just before the Lord's Prayer, talking about prayer, when you pray, Jesus is confident that you're going to pray. He doesn't have to prod you to pray. He's just confident you're going to pray because it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And stay there, Matthew 6. And this is an awesome one. Mind blower to me. If I can read my Bible. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you have bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. What does that mean? Keep letting Jesus love you. Just abide, I might remain in. Just keep remaining in the reality that he loves you. We try to make that so hard. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. One of the things that brings us his joy is seeing prayers get answered. The Father's glorified when they're answered. You understand? We've made it so religious and so difficult. Why is it fun to pray? Well, first and foremost, we talked about because of intimacy, interaction with him, you know, encounters with him, discovery, all the cool things that happen behind the veil in that place of intimacy. That's got to be foundational. It has to be first. But then the next thing is we get to see the will of heaven being cast down to earth. We see God answer prayers. God didn't invite us to pray to make it difficult for us. Here, I want you to pray. You're rarely going to strike the target. But it's just something I want you to struggle with the rest of your life anyway. And so we've written so much about prayer. We've made it so complicated. And Jesus just, somehow he thought the disciples understood what he meant when he said five times, ask me anything in my name and it shall be done for you. It can't be that simple. That doesn't seem holy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in light of who we are, we all know that some of the things we've thought and done and said recently, that can't be fair. Maybe God didn't really understand. No, these are the guys, remember, that he said that to? Every one of them. The lead guy cursed him and denied him three times. And then at the cross, the rest of them fled, and only one came back at some point. That's the ones he's talking to. So when he says, therefore, verse 8, do not be like them, For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now that seems to say to me, because He talks about vain repetition earlier, the verse before. Now again, vain repetition isn't that you can't say the same words, it's just that when you say them, mean them. When we sing choruses to worship songs and we repeat the choruses, is that vain repetition? I mean, in other words, if it's a prayer and you just put it to music, it's no longer vain repetition? How insane are we? I mean, that's what we think. People think that. They can sing a prayer and repeat the chorus, but that's okay. That's freedom. But if you said it, it's vain repetition. That's... the enemy's so smart. Jesus said, and the language was, say these words. In the Lord's Prayer in Luke 2, in Luke 11, and it means the word language there, say these words again and again. Vain repetition is saying something without your heart being involved. But he says, don't be like the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So what he's intimating here clearly is that the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. His intentions are to meet those needs, right? So in this issue of listening prayer, as we move into partnership, into petition and intercession, whether you're praying about your stuff or praying about somebody else's stuff or issues beyond you, you know, beyond your world, stuff is going on in our country, whatever it might be, why don't you ask Him first, what do they need? He says He knows your needs before you ask Him. He wants to meet the need, so why don't you say, Lord, what are my needs? Here is the situation, Lord, what is my need? And God will tell you what your need is, and you can pray what God has told you His will is. It's not any harder than that. And most of the time, as you're abiding in Christ, what you sense you need is what He believes you need. But go to Him and just say, Lord, You already know what I need. And if I'm supposed to know Your will, I'll read this to you, if I can find it. Well, this is a really cool... but I think I've forgotten it. The point being is, the way prayer works, in His presence, we find out His will. And then we pray His will. And when we do, in union with Christ, we throw heaven down to earth in those situations. He knows what you need before you ask Him. Ask Him what you need. He'll tell you. And then you pray that. When I prayed for Woody and Luke when they were little, early, I said, Lord, how do I pray for Woody and Luke? And the Lord gave me one specific short little sentence to pray for Wood. And He gave me one little short sentence to pray for Luke. Now, there are other things I prayed about them in crises and circumstances, but I prayed those things consistently all their growing up years. Because He told me this is what they needed. It's just a lot easier that way, right? Instead of just shooting in the dark, hoping something sticks. That's not how prayer works. Greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit and fullness of Christ in your life. Daily bread. It says, God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ in glory. And the third one, in terms of the realms of personal petition, is justice brought to victory in your personal lives. And then I'll stop today. Luke 18. This is all really familiar. Is this being helpful? Well, I'm going to do that one of these days. I'm going to say that, and somebody's going to go, no, not really. Then I'll never ask it again. Maybe somebody teach me a lesson. Verse 1 of chapter 18. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. That's a powerful word. All times ought to pray, not lose heart. Why would he say not lose heart? Because it can happen. We'll talk about that next week. And so, about answers to prayer, why things seem are slow, what, that kind of stuff, why there are delays. Saying there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God, did not respect man, and there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying again and again, give me legal protection for my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Eventually, point being is eventually he said yes. But God's not an unrighteous judge. How shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What does that look like? Pray at all times and don't lose heart. Well, I find faith in the earth because faith has to have long distance training. It's not a sprint. But I love to pray at this prayer. It's one of the things that I'm praying about. There are a number of things I'm praying about that God is, I believe God's shown me. This is what the need is. This is what his will is. And I've been praying into it. Once I discover it's his will, I pray for its manifestation now. But I'm thanking him that it's already ours. It's already true. And one of the things I'm praying for, God, bring justice in the situation speedily. But I purpose, Lord, I will not lose heart, no matter what. I'm not going to see what anybody else sees other than what you see, and therefore what I get to see from heaven. You get the best perspective from heaven, not on ground level. Just like those of you who like to deer hunt, you can always see more from the deer stand. Being seated in a heavenly place is an elevated position in which everything looks different. Amen? All right. Dan, you want to close us out? All right, let's stand together.